when we hear a spoken word or read the same word in a book, all of us instantly travel down memory lane to pick out which definition means the most to us. And while we are all human beings and we all have separate individual bodies, each of us learns about the world around us through different circumstances, through different experiences, and through different levels of understanding. Now, this philosophy, based on the writings of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, might not be the most modern way of thinking, but it is perhaps the most systematic. So if I were to utter the word pot, some of you, as cooks, might think of a particular kitchen item. Some of you, as gardeners, might think of a place that you'd put plants or seedlings. And still others might think of a particular medicinal herb. Then there is the context that we're in. Say we're right in the middle of cooking a fabulous meal. The word pot would have a very different meaning, even if we didn't spend that much time in the kitchen, but a lot of time gardening. I bring this up because in our fast-paced world, we don't often think about things, why they are the way they are, or why we are even here. If it's just to make enough money so that we can get stuff or do things, then that's not a very satisfying answer. But I also raised this little experiential experiment because a few sentences in today's gospel should have struck a chord with you. And if it didn't, you should have had at least a little bit of a deja vu. And that's right, at each and every Mass, we hear the words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And if you can't quite place it, it's right after the Lord's Prayer. But what exactly is this peace that Jesus speaks about? I'm certain that to Christians in Syria, peace means a period where there are no aggressors, such as ISIS. To a mother of twins or to triplets, peace is that period when all the kids are asleep, but just before she conks out. To an outdoor enthusiast, it might mean getting away from civilization and into nature. To a baby boomer who lives in Berkeley, it might mean nuclear disarmament, or perhaps a little encounter with the pot that goes neither in the kitchen nor in the garden. But regardless, we might know what peace is in these individual contexts, and we might know if it's attainable. But what do we actually know about the peace that Jesus promises to his disciples? It isn't the absence of the things that bother us or irritate us, ISIS aggressors, kids, noise, or the fast-paced world around us. It is entirely different. It is the presence of something. Now, if we didn't explore our world, if we didn't ask questions, if we didn't put ourselves in wonder and amazement, then our definition of peace will continue to be driven by the absence of these bad or difficult things. A few years ago, I went to the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom at the Orthodox Cathedral. For Christians in the East, this is what they call Mass, or what we call Mass. When I entered the church, I was immediately struck by two things. It was, one, incredibly beautiful, and two, it seemed that every square inch of space was filled with mosaics, paintings, icons, gilded fixtures, and hanging candles. Yes, hanging candles. Information was coming at me from all directions, and I just didn't know where to start looking. It was all so very wonderful. And at one point, a well-dressed young woman walked in with her young son in tow. And I'd say that he was about 6 years of age. And I recognized the look that was on this young boy's face immediately, because it was the look that was on my face just a few minutes earlier. His mouth was agape, and his eyes were filled with wonderment and amazement. Now, the way that his mother behaved, it was clear that this was not her first visit. She espied a very specific icon, approached it, venerated it by kissing it, and crossing herself three times in that very deliberate Eastern way, starting on the floor. Now, how could the environment around this little boy not impact him? The person closest to him, his mother, was behaving in a very unusual manner. She was reverent. She was subservient. She was obedient. And more importantly for him, she was teaching him something. And what was she teaching him? Well, she was teaching him how to be reverent, subservient, and obedient. A boy of this age believes that the whole world revolves around him, and that his parents are omnipotent and completely infallible. But in this environment, this boy sees his mother in a very different light. He sees his mother deferring to a higher power. What a fantastic lesson about humility. What a fantastic lesson about our place in the cosmos. The peace that Jesus speaks of is the peace that the world can never give us. And this is the important part. If we don't know what it is, then why would we want it? We already have a difficult time trying to acquire the things that we do know about. So why would we spend any time trying to acquire something that we know nothing about? The answer, of course, lies in faith. We need to make that leap to understand what Jesus is offering us, and then work to achieve it. It takes time, it takes effort, and more importantly, it takes initiative. Faith, of course, is a gift, but are we prepared to receive the gift? Or are we too busy doing something else? And even if we make the time, what are we doing to open our hearts and minds to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit? True peace is a reciprocal relationship with our Trinitarian God. On one hand, we have the love of God, the Father and the Son, through the Holy Spirit, loving us, which is always there, and completely unconditional. And on the other hand, we have us, who must love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through our obedience to him and his commandments. If we truly do what he asks, then we approximate the peace that he wants us to have. But we fail often, not because we want to fail, but because we get caught up in our own lives, our own desires, and our own obligations. After all, they're easier to follow than God's commandments. But we cannot even begin to obey him until we learn how to worship him. His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI knows very well that the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is key to peace. And he really wanted to share this with the youth of the world. So in 2005, just 4 months into his pontificate, he altered the format established by Pope John Paul II. The end of the Saturday night splash for World Youth Day in Cologne, Germany. In years past, it had been customary to wrap up the vigil with a huge, boisterous musical production, hoping to reach the kids through their own medium. Instead, Pope Benedict ended it by exposing the Blessed Sacrament in a ginormous monstrance after which he turned and knelt in deep prayer. Imagine this. A million people, all at this event, immediately followed suit. Over 400,000 teenagers and 600,000 adults, sponsors, priests, and religious all knelt in complete silence in recognition of the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? What could and what would cause a million people to stop what they're doing and worship in contemplation? It's Jesus Christ, that's who. And lest you think that this was a fluke, Benedict XVI repeated it at World Youth Day in Sydney in 2008 and again in Madrid in 2011. And Pope Francis, knowing the importance of peace in our world today, continued this tradition at his first World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in 2013 and will likely repeat it again this year in Krakow. People respond to the transcendent. They respond to the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And more importantly, they are attracted to it, and they want to be a part of it. Just think about it. The whole of Jesus Christ's humanity and divinity, all completely present in what appears to be mere bread and wine. If we have the opportunity to consume it, then we actually have Jesus directly inside us, transferring from the substance of what looks like bread and wine and into our own bodies, carried through our veins and activating every single cell in our body. Last week, I spoke to one of the classes here at St. Dominic's School to give them perhaps this realization. And I'm not certain if it sunk in, but I know that it's not up to me. Through our senses and knowledge, we know that what we're eating looks like bread and wine. But through our faith, we recognize it to be Jesus Christ. But if we lack the faith or we lack the attention to receive the faith, then it seems like all we're doing is lining up to receive a wafer and perhaps a swig of mediocre alcohol. In order to reach the peace that Jesus Christ wants for us, we need to capture the mind and heart of that little six-year-old that I mentioned before, with all its wonder and amazement, to believe in the mysteries of Jesus Christ and to transport us to that place where the earthly and the divine intersect in the Eucharist. If we can do it, the faith will take root and grow. If we want our kids to recognize it, then we need to teach them about it, and we do this by example.